I don't know about you, but I need information. I need to query Active Directory for stuff. I need to make reports. I need specific information, certain targeted computers, users, groups, information from all those people. Ashley, help me out.
That was the most quivering query I've ever seen.
Well,
quivering query.
Query.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to help you out, and I'm going to show you something. You know, I've been doing this for years, and I learned something this week, prepping this content.
Really?
And I've never seen, I live in this space, and I've never seen anybody blog or demo this anywhere else.
Oh, this is awesome.
So we've got a big finale. At the end of this one, you want to stay tuned.
Stick with us here. Now, let's take a look at the overview of what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at LDAP basics. This is very important stuff of how we're going to be querying and setting up and working with Active Directory. This will help you out quite a bit. Ashley's already put together a ton of information for you. Also, we're going to look at the query parameters and filters, including something never to do. It's just querying just makes me feel all... bubbly. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, let's go ahead and start off with this first thing here, the LDAP basics.
LDAP basics.
Explain this to me.
You know, if you buy a new chainsaw...
Back to the chainsaw
right,
with you?
Do you read the manual? I mean...
No.
Well, I was looking at snowblowers the other day, and it was like... Like safety tips for using a snowblower or a chainsaw. You've got this. You've got all the legal disclaimers in the front. You know, things to read. How many times do you buy something and not read the directions?
Every single time. And I come from Phoenix. We don't have snow. I should.
Yeah.
But I don't.
So I want to show you where the directions are.
Oh, you're gonna show me. Well, now, when it comes to PowerShell and it comes to Active Directory, it would certainly help to know where the documentation is, because I am going to need this, right?
You're going to need this, and you're also going to need a Windows 7 machine.
No, wait a minute.
Or a browser.
Wait a minute. I'm running Windows 8.1 like I'm supposed to.
Yeah, so am I.
Okay, so this doesn't exist on Windows?
Here's the problem. All right. I'm preparing for this big event, right? This live event. We're going to teach everybody Active Directory, and I'm going to show them how to use Get Help and the About topics. And I'm on my machine typing Get Help About _ Act star whatever to get all my Active Directory help topics. And they're not there. I couldn't find them. And so the next thing is, import the module. That brings the help topics in. All right, so then where are they? They're not there. I discovered, and I emailed the product group and said, hey guys, where'd the help files go? We were working on that. We'll get back to you. So hopefully as you're watching this, it's been fixed, but you never know. Hopefully they said it would be fixed soon. But anyway, go out to TechNet and do a search on About _ Active Directory in the PowerShell help topic area, and you'll find the help topics, but they're still there on the older installs of the RSAT with like Windows 7 or 2008 R2 with the module. But I couldn't find them on my 8.8.1, 2012 R2 installs, update help, all that stuff. They're not there. Anyway, I've talked too long about this.
That's an important note. So RSAT tools on Windows 7 will have these about files that he's going to show you real quick. You're not going to find them on Windows 8 until this gets fixed with those RSAT tools.
Right. Otherwise, you can go look at them in your browser online for now.
You can look at them in the browser. I think that's a real important note because we do need the instructions.
So let's flip to my screen then. And I've got here help about _ act. And that gives you all the about topics for the help in Active Directory. So, like I said, read the directions, and I have to confess, I always tell myself, if I ever sat down and just read all the about topics, I would be a real PowerShell whiz, but I've never done that yet. But that's where all the people that write the books get their stuff too, so.
Yeah, and that's one of the power of GitHub, is GitHub will help you search and find the information that you need at that moment, so I mean, that's...
So anyway,
as long
here's
as the about
topic.
Files
yeah.
exist.
So you need to read these yep. for what we're going to talk about. Now, we're going to talk about how to do queries in Active Directory. And so here we go. We've got the filter and the identity and the object model. It won't take you 5 minutes. You need to go read each one of these help topics on your own leisure over lunch one day this week, because there's really cool stuff in here that you need to know, and we're going to give you the high-level overview real quick, but then go dive into these later.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
All right.
LDAP Basics, my friend. Take
yes.
me there.
So, LDAP Basics. Well, LDAP is not a Microsoft thing, first off.
That's right.
Right. So, this is industry standard stuff. Microsoft didn't invent it. We're just playing to the RFCs and all that to make sure that we've got, you know, Active Directory working in a compliant fashion. So LDAP is not an Active Directory thing. But in the context of Active Directory, you need to know that there are different database partitions or naming contexts. Those are the vocabulary terms that we use. Naming contexts or partitions in the database. For example, the schema, the configuration, where all your sites and services stuff goes. You got the domain partition with all your users and groups and OUs. So these, you have to target your query at which piece of the database you want to query first. And then when you get those results back, everything's going to have a distinguished name property that identifies where it lives in the database. And those have some components to them. And these are all industry standard terms, like I said, RFC, LDAP type things that you can go look up later. But you're going to see something that starts out CN equals. That's the very first piece of a distinguished name. That's the common name or the canonical name. And sometimes that can be a container, like the users or computers. Containers are not organizational units in the domain because they're default containers. You can't assign policies to them. Little subtle things like that you'll notice when you start looking at the distinguished name. So CN equals, and then like Ron would be the name of the user, comma. Then after that, we could have OU equals. And we could have a bunch of those layers of OUs stacked in there, OU equals, comma. And then that gives us the layers of the tree until we get to DC equals. DC equals stands for domain component. I think that's right. So domain component, DC equals, and you're going to have the first part of the name, DC equals dot com dot whatever at the end, right? So those are the components that build up a distinguished name path. That's something everybody's just got to know when you're doing Active Directory, because you're going to be doing some string manipulation to build that distinguished name out where you need it to query an OU or so forth.
And I think you bring up a real important point, is that you're going to have to do some string manipulation. And you're going to have the correct LDAP naming. It's one of the things that with Active Directory, you certainly get focused on real quick in your career with Active Directory, because you got to be able to pull a distinguished name. And you can say that special word that I can't say. That's, I always use CN equals common name, because I can't say
canonical name.
Yeah, that one.
And that reminds me of Happy Days. Remember Happy Days? Where the Fonz didn't like liver, and he couldn't say liver. He just hated liver.
He's from like the 70s. I can't figure this guy out. Anyways, so go ahead.
All right, Happy Days. Here we go. Query parameters. So now in Active Directory, we talked about the ADSI type accelerator, which gives you some .NET object that, you know, goes back to AD. Well, there's also one called ADSI Searcher. And that is what, it's basically an object that you create. You load up the properties and you say go, and it'll go find those things for you in the directory.
So this is kind of like maybe like a query tool or a query object. This is what's going to find stuff for you.
Right. And I don't say any of this to scare you. I just want you to know that's kind of behind the scenes what's happening, because PowerShell remembers .NET under the cover. So if I take a look at this object and I just create a generic clean searcher object, you're going to see some things that hopefully are familiar to you in here. Things like page size, search scope, search root. And these things become the parameters then for commandlets like get AD object.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So down here, we've got all kinds of interesting things: attribute, scope, query, tombstone, asynchronous sort, search root. So the big ones then are the ones I'm going to drill in on here. And I want to talk about the different parameters for your Active Directory queries. So let's get an example here. Get command AD object. And you'll notice the filter parameter under get AD object is mandatory if you use that parameter set. Typically,
that's because it doesn't have square brackets around it, which means that's going to be a required parameter for it.
So if I just type get AD user, for example, it behaves the same way. It says filter. It won't execute get AD user. It says I've got to filter this somehow at a minimum. All right, so then we take a look. We can also specify an identity, or we can specify an LDAP filter. Now, this is where
I'm getting confused.
Okay.
LDAP filter?
Yes. You've got the manly filter, and then the filter that everybody else uses. Yes.
5-1 says that I've been using the wrong filter. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So LDAP filter, remember, LDAP is an industry standard protocol. So the cool thing here is that if you've got code that's doing LDAP queries, you can take that magic little LDAP filter string and take it straight into your PowerShell without any modification. So if you've got LDAP filter strings in VBScripts or .NET code, wherever, you can recycle that, find it on the web, wherever, take that, insert it into your PowerShell as an LDAP filter, and it uses the old school LDAP provider syntax. Now the new filter parameter, and we're gonna demo these here in just a second, but the new filter parameter uses more of a PowerShell flavored syntax, so parameter name or value property, whatever, property dash EQ some value, and which is nowhere near LDAP.
So the LDAP filter is the old stuff, and if you've worked with LDAP filters before, you get lots of parentheticals in there and the weird kind of syntax. But the new one makes it a lot easier.
So we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, go ahead.
Could we throw up the slide for the
LDAP section? Basics? Or do you want to
LDAP? Let's do the query parameter slide.
Oh, query parameter slide. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We should probably make sure we get the slide in there for the slide people.
Thank
you. All right.
Welcome.
You're welcome. All right. So let's talk about identity first off. Identity, alter egos here. Users and computers, objects in Active Directory. Everybody in the directory has an object GUID, or GUID, however you like to say that.
I say GUID because it's GUID. GUI.
Yeah. So object GUID, everything has that. But a SID is specifically a security identifier that's only going to be on users, computers, and groups and related security attributes. So objects. So everything doesn't have a SID in Active Directory, but it's going to have a distinguished name. It's going to have an object GUID. And so we can use those to snag those objects in anytime we need to grab an object. So here I'm going to do a get AD user with identity of and lan. All right, that works. Then notice this little trick. My currently logged on username from the environment variable is administrator. So what if I want to grab that identity? I can do that. Hey, that's the biggest account. Notice my my force has a special administrator. That's right. That's the biggest account.
You did. So the here heavy hitter.
Yeah, we got SID. We can grab an object by SID. Brings it back. Here's a little trick. Who am I? / user is an old command line trick.
That's right.
This says, here's my user and my SID. And then if I do a FOCSV, it says format the output as CSV, my favorite format. And then I could convert that from CSV to have object-oriented command line output in PowerShell. And then I can just expand the property SID to find the SID of the currently logged on user.
Okay, this is, if you look inside these parentheses, what he's doing is serious PowerShell kung fu. This is taking a command line and then using that data from the command line and through a pipeline using PowerShell to clean it up to only the things I want to get the results that I want. This is actually really cool.
Yeah. Yes, and there's more than one way to do that. This is the fun way. So now I can go grab that identity of the SID of the currently logged on user.
So you're giving us a lot of different ways to grab identity.
Yeah, so here we've got the distinguished name, CN equals, OU equals, DC
just like you
equals,
had talked about.
Right? And this is all going to get the same account. This is the GUID of the account, right? Not that you're going to use that very often, but there it is. So that's the identity parameter. When I get dash AD object, AD user, AD computer, different commandlets have different identities that they will accept. So that's where you need to go read the help file on the identity piece.
That's actually a real flexible parameter for what kind of information it'll take to get the actual identity of what you want. I like that.
Yeah. Next is properties.
Now, I see no.
I kind of, it was late when I was working on this. I was getting a little.
Oh, and I can see what you're doing. Oh, yeah, that's a big no-no.
Yes. Property, filter star, property star. Okay. This is worse than dead puppies. Never use filter star, property star. I don't care who you are. It'll leave a scar. You'll not get far. Now, don't do it. Just don't. Why? Okay. Here's my analogy.
Okay.
So, you go to the grocery store. Let's get the big camera going. All right, let's get Jason and I both in the shot here because we're
That'll take the extra big camera.
Yes. So, you go to the grocery store.
I go to the grocery store.
And you want a banana.
I want a banana.
I'm hungry. I want a banana.
Okay.
I'm in a banana mood. All right. Okay. So, I go to the produce section and I go to the cauliflower and I throw a bunch of cauliflower in there. I go to the apples. I throw a big bag of apples, a bunch of more apples. I get the.
But I want a banana.
But you want a banana, right? And then I say, oh, look, there's some cucumbers. Let's throw those in there too. And then look, there's the bananas. And by this time, I need another shopping cart, page size. Okay. I need another shopping. So now I'm going to load all the bananas from the whole banana display. People are looking at me funny.
I just wanted one banana.
You just want one banana, right? But you're cleaning out the whole produce section to get one banana.
So, Filter Star, Property Star says, give me the grocery store, and then later I'll just take my one banana.
You're working up a sweat loading up that many shopping carts with produce.
If I did the shopping, yes, I would be.
And you're enlisting help at this point. You're expending all kinds of resources just to get one banana.
Just to get one banana.
Right.
So that's what you're saying is that with this command, if you're using Filter Star, what's that doing to a domain controller?
Exactly. So now I'm going to the domain controller and I say, get AD object, filter star, everything, no filter, property star. Give me every last property on every last object in all of Active Directory. Now, I want you to think about it. When you go to AD Users and Computers or AD Administrative Center and you click on an OU with 1,000 users in it, it takes it a little bit to load that view, right? Now imagine doing that for every single object in the entire directory in one command line. Yes, you can do powerful things in one line of code in PowerShell. You can, it won't take down the DC, but it's going to bring it to its knees.
And now, the DC, it's there for authentication, authorization, when you're firing off a query like this, which is an irresponsible query to do, because the domain controller is now trying to service this.
Right.
It's not doing the job it's been hired to do, right?
Right.
It's not doing the authentication authorization it's supposed to be doing. Instead, it's servicing this query. I can imagine that after it finally gets all this data and just kind of across the wire, it could be causing a network issue too, possibly.
It could. Yeah, potentially. Yep.
Depending on how much that data was. So we always want to filter responsibly is what you're saying.
Yes, so I need the camera directly on me. Friends, don't let friends use filter star, property star.
I can't believe you just said that. Well, why don't you show us what friends do let
All
friends
right.
do?
So let's do this.
Friends don't let friends.
Okay,
star.
I need it. That's another T-shirt.
I'm going to use that, by
Never
the way.
Never use filter star.
I'm
going to
use that at
a
conference that you're not speaking at. So. Okay. And I'm not going to give you credit for it either.
All right. So all these people can use it too. So get AD root DSC. Here's the thing. When I do a query, I need to, instead of saying get everything, I need to tell it where to start the query.
Okay.
I don't want to start at the root of the domain, the root of the config partition. I want to start rooted down in an OU level or somewhere, some specific neighborhood in Active Directory, some neck of the forest where it's going to have just the data I want. Now, this is really cool. Root DSC shows me all these partitions that I can pick to start my query at.
Okay.
And this is going to populate the search-based parameter. I can also do this. I can say, look at all these naming contexts. This is where the configuration lives. This is where the schema lives. This is the root of the domain. And again, we're using these as variables so we don't have to hard code these in our scripts. I can also pick, this is a really good one here, under get AD domain. These are just properties of the domain. Here's where the computers live. Here's the deleted objects. Here's the domain controllers.
Oh, okay.
Lost and found, users. So I don't want to start in the root. I want to pick a search base that says, here's where you start traversing down the tree to perform the query.
Especially very important on larger companies, Active Directory. You just don't want to start at the root and be grabbing way too much information.
So these are built in as properties of the AD root DSC, the domain, and the forest. So let's take a look at the user's container. There we go.
Okay.
Maybe that's where I want to start. So now I can say filter star. That's okay, because now I've still limited it by the search base, and then I'm going to get a list of all the things.
What does search base mean? Does it mean just that level, or does it mean that it'll be
Well, that's search scope we're coming to.
Oh, okay. Search base is the target then that you want. Okay.
Search base is where I begin the search and go down from there. So then here's the computer's container, and just give me the search base of starting in that container. All right, how about this trick? Here's one for you. In the configuration partition, we have a path called services, net services, and that's where my authorized DHCP servers live.
Oh, that is so cool. The ones that I'm authorized to be able to issue out the IP.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So there's some really clever stuff hiding in that config partition.
And I know that for folks that work with other products like Exchange or something like that, under the services thing in the configuration containers where all the Exchange configuration is, this is really helpful to be able to find and maybe create reports on that information.
So here's a really clever one. Here we're using the LDAP filter, which we'll talk about in a minute. And we're going to look for anything called last log on or last log on timestamp. We're looking for these properties, is member of partial attribute set, which is the property in the schema that tells me if it's a global catalog item or not.
Oh, okay.
And then we're going to look at the search base in the schema. And then we're going to format that out. And so here we can see, here are these two attributes. And this tells me last log on is not in the global catalog. Last log on timestamp is in the global catalog.
Oh.
And that's a teaser for what we're going to do after the live event when we start talking about stale object cleanup. We're going to talk
Great, great.
Yeah. So one last quick trick here. I've got a... out on the TechNet Script Center, I've got a blog post about this as well. I've got a script that goes out and dumps out everything that's in your schema. So you can find out, because I met a guy one time, I'm on site to help him with Active Directory, and he says, look, man, the last guy that had Active Directory here, he left a month before I hired. I have no idea what's in my forest. So I said, you need to know what schema extensions have been there, so let's dump out the schema. And I created this little schema report for him and also gave him like the date each domain was added to the forest, and is it what exchange level, what link level is the schema, and what AD level. So it's a really quick schema report, and all it is an AD query. It's pretty simple. Let's take a look. So here I've got my schema. I'm going to do a search of the schema, and then I'm going to say, give me all of those objects by name when created, and I'm going to group those out. And here's a list of every schema attribute when it was added. Here's another way to look at it like this. And now I've got a report that says on 2009, that's when I built the environment. And on 2012 here, June 13th, I added 134 schema objects, and then another 55 on 9/13. So I can see the, and then I go look at these attributes and I say, okay, that's what, so that's the day we did the Cisco ACS extension or the Oracle extension or whatever.
Or the Exchange AD prep.
Config manager.
The config manager.
Right, all those AD preps.
That's actually enormously important if you're walking into an Active Directory and you needed to discover.
You need to know what's there.
What's there, what's been extended, when it was done. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so that's out on TechNet Script Center for free. Yep.
So four easy payments of absolutely free.
Yeah, so here's an example. Let's take a look at the configuration naming context. If I do a filter star search base there, that's going to bring back everything. Sites, subnets, replication, DHCP, you name it. But then I say search scope at the base.
Oh, that's what I wanted.
That's what you wanted. Base says give me just the object, no child objects. Okay. Then one level says give me that object and its immediate descendants. One level.
So this is how you're controlling the scope.
How deep,
you
go with the query.
Okay,
right.
Good, good, good.
And then we've got search scope subtree, obviously, which would be like a recursive thing that goes
and
grabs it all.
So that's going to go the whole way.
And that's the default behavior. Yeah. Now, another thing that you popularly want to do is you want to target a specific environment. So if I do a get AD forest, that gives me my current forest. But let's say I've got a trusted domain over here called Wingtip Toys. And so I target that one instead by using the server parameter.
Okay.
Remember
got
we
it.
Said yep. we're in silos and we didn't know there should have been computer name here instead of server. But yeah, so it's dash server. So that tells me now when I go look at the Wingtip Toys, I can see here are the sites, here are the domains. And later if I pipe that to a format list star, I see forest mode. There it is. Forest mode is a 2008 R2 forest. So I can target servers then. I can also target get administrator property star. Now in this case, it's not filter star, property star.
Right, right.
I'm telling it just all the properties for the administrator.
Administrator.
So that's responsible. Then what if I want to go to get them in the global catalog? That's port 3268 on the local DC there. And that brings back the properties that are, remember it's a different property set.
Right.
There, and if I hit another server, specific server name, global catalog. Now, what's interesting here is that if you pipe these to account, you'll see I've got 109 normally, and if I go to the global catalog, I've got 97. So you see that not all attributes are in the global catalog, right? That makes sense. Now, Boolean searches.
Uh-oh. Did you say Boolean?
Boolean.
I'm sorry, Boolean is, it sounds like a dance, doesn't it?
It does sound like a dance, yeah. So here we go. We've got an LDAP filter. Is member of partial attribute set is true. That says just tell me what's in the global catalog. What objects in the schema have that set to true? And there they are. Now, the thing I want to point out here is in this LDAP syntax, you have to use uppercase true, uppercase false.
And there are a lot of resources online if you need to build an LDAP query that can help you understand how these, because if you look at those look kind of weird. You've got like exclamation points for nots and all that kind of stuff. There are ways to build those queries.
And here's the cheat. All right, you ready? Cheat. Inside
cheat.
Tip. Here we go. Saved queries. I'm in ADUC, and I'm going to go to do a new query.
I love this.
Ha ha! Cheater query. And now I'm going to say browse. I'm going to pick my search base. Okay, let's find the migrated OU and let's define the query. I want users whose name starts with the letter A. And I could pick these other checkboxes as well here. I hit OK.
And the right
look
there.
This
is what we used to do when we were doing all the VB scripting and we were doing the LDAP queries. We'd go in here, grab the query from here, put it into the script.
So now I just come back over here and I say get-AD object. And you know what? I'm probably skipping ahead of myself here. Dash LDAP filter. I'm gonna show this in the next little segment. I hit the wrong paste, the wrong cup control.
You didn't copy paste it?
I did, but I hit the wrong one, man. So let's go edit this query real quick. I grab the syntax, copy, bump, and get back over here. Zip right there, control paste.
There we go. So
now
that built the query for me.
It built the query. And I just cheated because that's my filters coming up next. But let's stay just a real quick segment here to finish this piece out before we hit the next slide marker.
Sure.
Get AD forest, I target a server. Now the problem is that server has different credentials required.
Yeah, and this is a common thing that pops up a lot.
Yeah.
Crossing domains or crossing to a server has different credentials.
So I could be querying a user, computer, group, force, you name it. I can query anything targeting a different server. In this case, I'm going to use a DC name, or I could use just the name of the domain. Pass in a credential here. Tailspin Toys. You know, I don't think I've got that. I do have that environment booted up. That's my 2003 server.
And I love get credential because notice there's no password in the script.
The other thing that some people don't know about get credential is when it prompts you for that credential, it does not validate the credential. You could put a bogus password in there and you'll get a surprise in a minute when you go to use that credential.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm gonna try it, oops.
Yeah. So anyway, there you go. Now I can actually use /server-credential to connect to other domains, other forests where I need to have access. I've got the rights, I just got to use the right account to get there.
Well, that's a lot about the queries, and you kind of started it with the filters, but you know, let's dive a little bit different. I got a slide up for this so that we can dive a little bit further into the filtering capabilities, the responsible filtering, the friends don't let friends, whatever it is you said.
Filter star, property star. I don't care who you are.
Okay. Oh, there you go. Now he's got it rhyming. Star.
You won't get far. Yes, that's really poor.
Yeah,
that's
you were up late.
Rhyming.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So again, filters about Active Directory filter, about Active Directory object model, and there is a whole thing out there on search filter syntax on TechNet that you can read. So we just did the ADUC demo, cheating to write your query. So yep. let's keep moving.
Which I
forward
love
then.
That. Yeah.
So with AD user, we can get filter star again. Not cool.
Not cool.
You don't want to grab every user in the whole directory. You want to give them a filter. Now, the filter syntax, I've seen people use curly braces or strings. Either one seems to work here. Name equals and lan is the same as saying get AD user and lan.
Hey, but one of the things to point out there real quick is name dash EQ. That's PowerShell comparison operators, right? So if you work with different technologies, you have to use the filtering that technology uses. Right now, the dash filter is using the PowerShell filtering. And if you want to, you can look up about_operators and you'll see the comparison operators. There's a whole bunch of them, -gt, -le, I mean, there's a ton of them. Plus there's ands and ors. But look up the operators so that you know how to use the different operators in PowerShell.
Right. So again, filter star, property star, that's not cool. So then we got filter star properties department, okay? That says just bring back the department. I know I'm going to get my default things like distinguished name and SID and GUID and all that.
Right.
But add to that bucket of properties the department. And then again, give me all users everywhere. Not cool. I want to put a search base in there at least, right?
And see, and
target that. Be responsible.
Be responsible. Target the OU that you want so you're not searching everything.
Yeah. So in the, if you read the directions, here are some examples provided by the directions on filters.
And I think this is a really good example of LDAP filters and regular filters.
Exactly. Because you need to know the difference. And I guess I have to say this, that there was some incorrect logic in some of these in the help. I know that that never happens when you write documentation, but...
Well, you know, humans do make mistakes.
Right.
Yeah. Some humans do. Not me. Production guy says not me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So here we go. LDAP filter CN equals Bob Starp. You know, that's not even valid. You can't do wildcards like that at the beginning and the end. You can only do wildcards at the end in LDAP syntax. But anyway, you got LDAP filter CN equals Bob, CN like Bob. Okay.
And see, I'm so used to PowerShell that I'd prefer to use the dash filter. Now, you were saying earlier there's the manly way and then the wrong way.
Yeah, the big boy way is using LDAP filters. I mean, if you're going to be industry compliant, right? So, old school.
So you're telling me I'm using the wrong filters. No, I knew this was going to happen to me.
They both work.
Okay.
They both work. Okay. It's just I'm better than you when it comes to
filters. You're better than me. I love that.
Did I say that out loud? That's awful.
You did.
I apologize.
I'm not buying you dinner tonight like I promised.
I shouldn't say something like that. That's bad.
You get no appetizer.
I'm not better than you. No. Yes. Thank you for inviting me. Please have me back.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. LDAP filter or bad password count. Exists. Bad password count equals star means there is a bad password count, and it's greater than or equal to 5, and we've got the little ampersand and the parentheses bracketing things together. All right, so that's our compound logic example. Here we've got, we're looking for a user that has an email address of some kind populated. That would say get AD user email like something, or get AD object where email is like something, then nothing, and then object class equals user. Here we've got a more complicated one. We've got last name, surname is Smith. It's a user, and they have an email address of some kind. So you kind of see the examples here contrasting the different syntax. The reason I put this in here is if some of you are old school AD guys and you want to use your LDAP filters, go for it.
Well, and we have that LDAP trick, you know, of grabbing the queries that a lot of us have used for years that you showed us with Adux. So
right. So last log on, let's save that for later. We're going to hit stale accounts later. Let's say I want to grab, here's my department. Anybody's got a department? Let's get the legal department here. We're going to select just some users and some certain properties. Now we've got a report of all the users in the legal department. A lot easier to work with there. Just getting the queries, the parameters, the properties there that I want. Now, let's get down to the big trick.
Where's this whole big finale thing? I mean, okay. I was getting there with the LDAP and the filter thing. Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. Thanks for showing us the comparisons between them. I think that's really important and very useful. But what's this whole big, would impress me?
Okay, here we go.
Now, 4 minutes to do it.
Yes, I was reading the help the other night.
You were reading
like
the help
good
the
user.
Other night.
I was reading the help and I saw something I'd never seen before. See, the LDAP protocol has all these little tricks built in that are nuances that do superpower kind of things that you couldn't normally do with other syntax, really. It's built into the protocol and it's implemented. So here we go. I'm going to create groups and I'm
okay,
three
so
groups.
You're making some global groups.
All right, and then I'm going to nest them. I'm going to say group one has group two as a member, group two has group three as a member, group three has the guest as a member.
Wow, that's like.
So that, I just created a nested scenario. And so now here they are. Group one has group two as a member, all the way down to group three, which has guest as a member.
Okay, I'm with you. It's kind of like Inception, but I'm with
you. It's nested, okay, nested groups. And so now I look at the groups that guest is a member of. It just says group level three, okay, and group three from some other demo, all right?
But wait.
So, yes, go ahead, ask your question.
He's a member of that group, but he's part of this nested group thing, right?
Right. So here's the thing. There have been people that have spent lots of good time that they could have been doing other more productive things, writing code to go traverse and expand. That's... Okay, this group is a member of all these other groups, and then this. So I'm trying to figure out how can I trace this user's membership back?
And this is one of the huge troubleshooting issues with permissions, all that kind of stuff is, I got a user in this group, but what other groups is he a member of so I can find out what permissions are there? Yeah, this is a huge deal.
And this doesn't solve all of those nested scenarios, but there's one particular scenario I want to highlight. Is this user account a member of domain admins?
Oh, great question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's go find out. And now normally you would have to go say, okay, all these are all the members of domain admins. I got to expand all those groups and then all those nested groups to find this big list, right? I did the happy dance when I found this.
Well, the happy dance, I love it.
There is a feature in LDAP called recursive match.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding.
So filter member of recursive match.
And we're looking for group one, okay, group level one, where guest is a member. So let's recursively match that. He's not an immediate member of group level
right? He's in group three.
He's in group three. And then because it comes back with his ID, that tells us, yes, he's in that group.
Wow. You know how much code that I've written by expanding all of the groups?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's painful. So now if I say, is he a member?
What you're saying is if I was smart, I would have read the help file and gotten this figured out.
I didn't exactly say that.
No, I think you pretty much said that. You're not getting dessert tonight either.
So here we go. Now I'm looking at, is he a member of domain admins? That's what we really want to
know. That's what we really want to
know. Is he in domain admins? We're searching for the guest account here. He's not in domain admins. And there's some tricks to this. You got to put the filter and search-based syntax just right. So let's put him in there. By proxy, we're going to add a group member to domain admins, the
group
top level group.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So now when we get AD group, we see that group level one is nested into domain admins here.
Right, okay.
Now, the problem is that Joe User down here, guest, doesn't show on the radar that he's in domain admins because he's in some obscure nested group, right? So now we can say recursively match domain admins for the guest account, and it found it.
Found it.
As a member of domain admins recursively.
That is huge. That is amazing.
Yes, it is.
That is a huge time saver right there.
Yes.
Okay, that was worth the price of admission.
You ready? Right, this is about Active Directory scripting. So let's turn this into a function called test AD domain admin.
Oh, cool. Yeah, okay, very cool.
All right, here we go.
Make a function.
So we're going to give it a parameter of user, and we're going to say, check that username. Is it recursively a member of domain admins? If so, true. If not, false. And if they gave us a bogus name, give us an error. So let's define a function now called test AD domain admin. So many people have written hours of code for this.
No, I'm, yeah.
And it's like one line, man. It's crazy.
It's like hours that you have
saving. So now,
saving.
Test AD domain admin guest, true.
Oh, I love it.
And LAN, is that member of domain admins? False. False. And some bogus account that doesn't exist, error.
Wow.
I told you it was going to be good.
Okay. And I'm glad you did this at the end, because I think I need to take a breather. And so and I think so does everybody else. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, this was so cool. But when we come back, we're going to dive further. This kind of reminds me of what our next topic is, forensics. That's right.
Ooh.
Forensics and lockout. So take a break. And when we come back, it's time for forensics and lockout in our Jumpstart.